6:18 a.m., broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. In studio, our good friend, all-star panelist, recovering journalist, public affairs specialist Clint Brewer. We are dissecting the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Let me finish this brief, but I think ill-informed article that they wrote last night in the op-ed pages, the editorial board. By the way, I'm going to invite the members of the editorial board to come on this show because they've made so many mistakes in this, but let me just finish it off. Last three paragraphs of the brief article. Quote, a lawsuit from voters in Ms. Ortega's camp is likely, and here's where the plot thickens. The U.S. Constitution says a member of the House must be 25 years old, a U.S. citizen for 7 years, and an inhabitant of the state he or she represents. That's it. No, actually, it's interesting. They say she. They don't say he. They say she. I said he or she, but they said she. In the they got their pronouns right at the Wall Street Journal editorial.
What do you want to bet the Constitution actually says he?
Yeah. again, we're just going down the list.
It was written a long time ago.
The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, you guys, you got to wake up and pay attention because you're missing a lot here. We will be happy to enlighten you if you come on the program. Okay. Continuing with their misinformed argument. States once tried to place term limits on their congressional delegations, but the Supreme Court said no in a 1995 case, U.S. Term Limits v. Thornton, quote, allowing individual states to craft their own qualifications for Congress, the majority held, would, quote, erode the structure envisioned by the framers, end quote. Tennessee might reply that Thornton was a 5-4 decision, and the court has changed. Nothing in the Constitution, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote in dissent, deprives the people of each state of the power to prescribe eligibility requirements for the candidates who seek to represent them in Congress. The Constitution is simply silent on this question. If a petition comes along, would Justice Thomas pitch his colleagues on ditching Thornton? It is a fascinating legal question, but what's happening in Tennessee, here's the key point. What's happening in Tennessee this week isn't a scholarly case for restoring state election powers. It's a grubby example of insiders deciding they want to keep political offices in the club. That's their conclusion. Clint Brewer, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts have several layers to it, so let me break them out. First of all, and I said this in the last segment, I want to state as a resident of the 5th District, as a voter there, I would love the opportunity to, in some form or fashion, to have the opportunity to consider voting for Morgan Ortega's, if nothing more than for her qualifications. I think she's immensely qualified. I like the idea of her in public service in the state. But I want to, if the reader or if the listener can imagine, just let's set that aside, okay? Let's set her aside. The Wall Street Journal has a long history of supporting typical conservative concepts, including states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
We have a representative form of government. If we have passed this law with that much of a margin in the state legislature, then I think the people of Tennessee, in fact, have spoken. To call it a grubby political insider club, I think, doesn't really recognize the track record and history of the General Assembly, of state government here, of how well-run Tennessee state government is compared to many of its peers, including the state of New York, where I believe the Wall Street Journal is offices are located.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you could turn this around, and what it sounds like to me is, some folks from the East Coast reacting viscerally to the fact that one of their own isn't allowed to just come to Tennessee and take a congressional seat.
Yeah, I will point out that Morgan Ortega's, before she moved to Washington, D.C., lived on, I think the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Well, and let's
for about
be honest,
4 or 5 years.
There's an old saying in politics from someone from the opposition party: if you're explaining, you're losing,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, if you're having to continue to explain why you should be allowed to run, it's probably not the best premise to start a campaign. I think the person, and you're going to disagree with me, Mike. The person I feel the sorriest for in all this is Morgan Ortegas, because I think she's probably well-intentioned. You know, she doesn't know the minutia of interstates in Nashville.
I can't let that pass.
Okay, she doesn't know the specifics of interstates in Nashville.
She doesn't know anything about the interstates, the names of the interstates in Nashville.
You know, I think she'd be a really good public servant, and I just wish that this had unfolded differently. I think she's going to face challenges at the state party at the executive committee level. I think that, you know, there's been a report out that there's already some kind of pack that's spun up that's going to be part of
put together by a former Bain Capital guy and Romney guy.
Yeah, legal.
Out of Beverly, Massachusetts. East Coast.
Right.
Insiders.
Legal representation to fight to get her on the ballot.
Asterisk.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
We'll come back to that.
This is a Wall Street Journal editorial, a super PAC, or not a super PAC, but a PAC for, you know, legal defense. I mean,
they're basically telling all the rubes in Tennessee, do it our way, not your way.
I'm not sure this is how you win voters. Ever.
No, it's not at all.
And let's be clear too, you can't buy the Wall Street Journal in Walmart. So I'm not.
And you have to pay for. I had to pay for a subscription to read that entire piece.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure for the fine folks of the 5th Congressional District as they go about their day, how much impact the lofty opinion of the Wall Street Journal is going to have in places like.
Well, they've smeared the voters of Tennessee by the way they've described this. And let me just be very clear. And I want to get. We're going to try to get the editorial board a member on this show, and I'm going to hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
Here's this statement is a smear of Tennessee and Tennesseans. Quote, it's a grubby example. Grubby. They call the Tennessee General Assembly grubby. You know, the Tennessee General Assembly that stopped having a state income tax, that Tennessee General Assembly, which is one of the great reasons why we're doing so well here in Tennessee. It's a grubby example of insiders deciding they want to keep political offices in the club. No, it's not. I mean, they have no idea what's going on here.
No. There are 18 people running. I can assure you they're not all in, quote-unquote, the club.
And by the way, why does the Tennessee General Assembly, why do they feel so vehemently about this? I'll tell you why. Because in Tennessee, it's Tennessee values, it's the Tennessee history that has built Tennessee up. And now newcomers are coming in droves, and they want to change Tennessee. And in this particular case, you want to know what the political club is. Let's be honest. Out of the blue, Morgan Ortegas decided, somehow was able to persuade President Trump. I think he got misled. Frankly, I think that's what I'm hearing, but persuaded him to endorse her before anybody even knew she was living here.
Well,
the outsiders trying to determine things for Tennessee and try to impose their will are actually the groupies around President Trump who persuaded them that somebody who's never lived here, never voted here, is the person he ought to endorse.
You know, if the MAGA movement can be about America first, why can't our General Assembly be about Tennessee first?
You have said something quite profound.
Well, I don't understand. I mean,
yeah.
Why would we as a state not have the right to self-determine on something as important as who can run for office? I know there's a constitution. I know there's a set of standards, but you know, it just feels like somebody somewhere between New York and D.C. and Mar-a-Lago looked at the map and said, oh, yeah, we can give you this seat right here.
Yeah.
And I, you know, again, it's disappointing to me because I do think she's eminently qualified, but that is not the way you go about winning a seat in this state.
No, not at all. And of course, okay, what's the over under on that? A member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board will come on the show and face the fire.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Yeah, because they don't care.
I don't think they do.
They don't care. So I will. I will. Continue to attack them in absentia because they deserve it.
Well, I'm not sure how many of your listeners actually read the Wall Street Journal.
Probably more than you think. But we'll talk about that and more when we get back. This is the Tennessee Star Report. He's Clint Brewer. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.